Hola! Welcome to Dismantling Diet Culture. Fuck being calladita, the only Spanglish anti-diet podcast that teaches you from a sociological lens, feminism, and intuitive eating coaching to dismantle diet culture. I'm your host, Dr. Hortensia Jimenez, and I am passionate about dismantling diet culture and helping you heal your relationship with food and your body. I'm a mother, daughter, comadre, amiga, community member, professor, health coach, and published author. On this show, I share my personal experience with diet culture, tips and strategies, and educational content to help you understand diet culture and systems of oppression so that you can have the tools to challenge diet culture. Current and future generations do not deserve to inherit your diet culture trauma, and I'm here to help you. If you're on a mission to heal your body and food traumas and embody your authentic self unapologetic, welcome to Dismantling Diet Culture. Fuck being calladita. Hola, bienvenidos a Dismantling Diet Culture. Fuck being calladita. This is your host, Dr. Hortensia Jimenez. I'm a little bit under the weather, so please excuse my voice. Estoy un poquito enferma, me pego un poquito la tos y traigo la garganta un poco irritada. So just bear with me if I cough throughout the episode. Mother's Day was this weekend, and as a Mexicana Latina, Mother's Day is also celebrated on May 10th. So we get to celebrate Mother's Day twice, on May 10th and then on Sunday. And I want to begin by just sharing that this Mother's Day was a little hard for me. My grandmother passed away last March, and it was a tough year. It was a really tough year, and I honestly thought that I was going to be a little bit better this Mother's Day coming around, but nope, my grief kind of took over, and I was just kind of honoring my feelings and just missing my grandmother. I miss her so, so much. You have no idea how much I miss my abuelita and how much she has meant in my life. Who I am today is in large part because of her. She was such a fierce, strong, resilient lady, and I just miss her, and I was sad. And I was also sad, you know, thinking about how immigration and borders really leave traumatic experiences and a lot of inner niña healing that I've had to do growing up and even now. Because of immigration, I unfortunately wasn't raised with my biological mother. I have a great relationship with my mother and my sisters, but I grew up in the United States away from my father and mother and my sisters. And even though I would go almost every year or every other year when I was able to get my green card, my legal status, the damage and the trauma that being separated from my mother left was just devastating, you know, growing up. And Mother's Day coming around, then I'm like, I have a mother, but I can't really honor her. It was really just my grandmother and my aunt. You know, I grew up like this, my childhood and teenage years, not really fully understanding like the why. And I had a courageous conversation with my mother in my early 20s. It was one time that I went to Mexico, and I was honest, and I told her, like, I feel that perhaps you don't love me the same way that you love my sisters, or I'm scared. And of course, she was crying and said, of course not, mija. Like, I love you. Like, I love you the same way that I love your sisters. But I, you know, it was just me feeling like an outsider, like not being part of that mothering and love and care that my mother was able to give to my sisters that she was unable to give to me. So, you know, I kind of struggled a lot with that. And every Mother's Day, I kind of feel like this kind of a heavy heart and just really a mixture of emotions that sometimes I can't even articulate or identify. So that was my Mother's Day this past weekend. I try to honor all my emotions without judgment, which is hard. So, and I share this with you just to let you know that, you know, It's not easy and healing. It's a lifelong journey. And if I can't offer anything, it's okay. You know, it's okay that if we're not happy, if we may feel sadness, anger, resentment, all those feelings on Mother's Day, like this whole idea that we should be grateful, that we should be happy, and that can also be oppressive, you know, on Mother's Day. Like we also have the power to feel and sit with those feelings. And you know, I was feeling shitty. I wasn't feeling the greatest. But I also allowed myself to feel gratitude, to feel a lot of compassion and many other feelings as well. And so what I want to cover in this episode is as a sociologist and of course as a Latina, is help you understand two concepts, familismo and Marianismo, and how these two concepts are really tied to systems of oppression and therefore tied to diet culture, right? Because that's my whole podcast is dismantling diet culture. And in this episode, my intention is to really disrupt the idea of motherhood and mothering in a way that is liberating and healing for you. Okay, so let's go ahead and begin to understand the framework of familismo. And familismo, this is a strong attachment and connection to family as such a core value within Latino culture, right? Es como la familia primero, like family comes first, which sounds like a beautiful, strong value, right? But it can also hinder us in many other ways, which we can talk about that. So familismo is this commitment and connection and obligation to family. And oftentimes, where this gets a little bit problematic is prioritizing familial interest, familial ties before your own personal interest. So you see, so familismo es sí, esa conexión, ese compromiso y la prioridad con la familia, pero también a veces tenemos que poner nuestros propios intereses, nuestras propias metas, cosas que queremos realizar. A veces las tenemos que poner como en un alto por la familia, que no podemos llevar a cabo ciertos proyectos por la familia. Entonces, en ese aspecto, sí, sí puede ser un sistema de opresión que no nos libera, que no nos deja, abrir nuestras alas, ¿no? Y volar. So, familismo is also tied to expected gender roles. So when we're talking about systems of oppression, if we look at familismo as certain gender norms, well, traditional gender roles and norms in Latinx, Latine households revolved around traditional female roles, the cooking, the cleaning, the mothering, the nurturing, and then the men doing a lot of the outdoor, you know, gender role tasks, the provider, right? Very binary gender roles and values that familismo enforces, okay? And also behaviors. So to further explain, let me give you the example of machismo. Machismo is this masculine value usually attached to men, to Latino men, that they're expected to perform within the Latine household and in families. The machismo of being the protector, of the family, the provider. And oftentimes the extreme extent of machismo is se hace lo que dice el hombre en la casa. El hombre es el que lleva los pantalones en la casa. It is the men who hold the power and authority in the household, and you do what the male says, the male figure. So this is very common in a lot of Latinx households. Is that problematic? Absolutely, of course, because power and authority is bestowed on males by default of being born males, right? So then where does that leave? Or queer identities, where does that leave, you know, woman? The other concept is Marianismo. And Marianismo is this also expectation and value of the self-sacrificing Latina woman, mother who is devoted to the family, who sacrifices for the family, who puts her own needs and wants at the end. Her needs and wants matter, but what becomes priority is the family, el familismo, right? So Marianismo is oppressive. Machismo is oppressive. Both machismo and Marianismo are producing inequality and notions of difference and reinforcing. Okay, this is how we can connect it to diet culture and systems of oppression, that machismo, Marianismo are reinforcing heteropatriarchy, are reinforcing notions of oppression that marginalize Latinx family members, because you're expected to fulfill either the role of machismo or the role of Marianismo. Marianismo is contributing to these gender roles and responsibilities within Latinx families, which leaves little room for Latina women, for girls, because they grew up seeing their mothers, and their mothers reinforce the Marianismo values, and they carry these values and then are enforced by these gender roles. So I'm here to problematize, right? To really invite you to begin, if you come from a Latinx household, is, do you have a strong familismo? I'm not saying that it's bad, right? So familismo, it's amazing when we have such a strong attachment to our family, to our cultura, to our values. That's amazing. But when women in particular have to really put aside what they desire to do in life, any goals that they might have, they have to put them on hold, oftentimes because of the family. Or girls, and this is, I tell you as a professor, so many young women get accepted to the university, sometimes with the full ride. They get accepted to their dream school. I'm in California, so like Berkeley, Stanford, any UC university. No, pues no pueden ir. Porque el papá dice que no, que porque allá van a andar de voladas y que bla, bla, bla. So oftentimes they don't go off to the university because of what? Familismo, and because of the machismo, because fathers aren't able to, honestly, at the end of the day, what this comes down to is to control them, control their sexuality, control their bodies and what they are able and not able to do. And so many are expected to go to the university that is, you know, any within you know, an hour away. There's like two universities in my community that are about three universities within an hour. We have CSUNB Monterey Bay, UC Santa Cruz, San Jose State University. These are the closest universities. And so sometimes my female students aren't able to go far away because of their parents, not only just the fathers, but oftentimes their mothers, that they have to be close to home because they have a responsibility, because they're the oldest in the family and they need to look after their siblings, or their parents rely on them financially, right? So yes, familismo is amazing when you have those strong ties and values, but at the same time, what does this mean for women, you know, that aren't able to continue with their dreams and aspirations, that they are limited, right? So I really want to invite you to consider, like, is familismo something that you grew up in your home? Machismo and Marianismo. But this was the case in my home. Not only did I see it with my mother and my father, not only was it enforced, but I also saw it with my grandmother and my aunt, you know, also enforcing machismo and Marianismo. So this ties in to motherhood, right? And since Mother's Day just passed, I really just want to emphasize too that it's okay if you do not want to bear children, if you don't want to have children of your own. Part of familismo and Marianismo is that there's this expectation for women to have children, that one of the big fulfillments in life is to be a mother or to have children. And you know, I'm here to disrupt this and to tell you that it's okay if you want to pursue your education, your career, if you know right now that you don't want to have kids, that's valid. But you will feel guilty, you will be shamed, you will be criticized by the family because they have other ideas. So we need to also normalize that not every woman wants to become a mother. And some become mothers because they were forced, they had to, but that's not something that they wanted to do. So we also need to normalize that not all women want to be mothers, and that is okay, and that is valid, and women shouldn't be shamed for that. Then the second point that I want to make too is also understanding that you don't need to have children to mother. You don't need to have children to mother. If you're a caretaker, if you're the oldest in your family or the middle child or the youngest, it doesn't matter where in this hierarchy of siblings. If you're an aunt, if you're a prima, comadre, if you're a person that's involved in the community, if you're a counselor, if you're a professor, if you're a doctor, if you're a lawyer, any profession, I think that that's part of also mothering, caring for others. So while some might decide not to have children, you can mother in other ways through your profession, through the work that you do in the community, the love and care and compassion that you offer your clients, your customers. That's mothering your nephews, your nieces. That is also part of mothering. So I invite you to expand your understanding of motherhood too, that can be oppressive, and consider mothering, how you mother, right? So there's all the other frameworks too for men, right? In terms of, parenting, but men can also mother. Mothering is not necessarily just tied to female gender roles. The nurturing, the caring, that is part of mothering. Being involved in the community, doing activism work is part of mothering. Being a teacher is mothering. You know, if in the K through 12, especially elementary school, so many teachers play such a, mother figure for their students. So I'm inviting you to also consider the ways that you have mothered others and to be proud of that. I want to introduce a couple books for further reading. There's this amazing book called Revolutionary Mothering, Love on the Front Lines. I will put it in the show notes. So it's a really amazing book. Another book that I read when I was in grad school, when I decided to be both a student and a mother, I had a very hard time, of course, because you're not expected to pursue a PhD and also have children. And a book that really got me through grad school is called Mothers in Academia, and it's edited by Mari Castañeda. It is such a wonderful book, Mothers in Academia. I recommend this book if you are a grad student, if you're a student parent. This book was written in response to the lack of representation of students of color in grad school. And women in academia. So it's a great book. Another book that I want to introduce to you that I actually wrote a chapter is the book, The Chicana Motherwork Anthology. This is such an amazing book. It's written by one of my colegas and friend, Dr. Yvette Martinez Vu, and Cecilia Caballero and a couple of other amazing Chicana Latina scholars. And in this book, I have a co-author chapter with another a colleague of mine, where we interview community college student mothers and their experiences navigating the community college system as student parents. So these are three books. And the last one is Mothering by Degrees, Single Mothers in the Pursuit of Post-Secondary Education, Jillian Duquesne Watson. I'll put it in the show notes too. This is also another amazing book. I love this book. It's talking about single mothers and their challenges and their tribulations, as well as the things that they have been able to accomplish while navigating higher education as single mothers, lessons that they learned, and so forth. So these are just four books that I invite you to consider looking into to expand your understanding of motherhood, mothering, and also just acknowledging the different ways that we can mother others, that it doesn't have to come from a place of oppression and marginalization, that we get to define these roles. So that's my invitation in this episode. I'll see you in the next episode, which is going to look at a student mother and her relationship with food. So that's a great segue for next week's episode. Muchísimas gracias por acompañarme. Muchas gracias por acompañarme en Dismantling Diet Culture, Fuck Being Calladita Podcast. Be sure to rate, review, and follow the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. Especially be sure to rate and review the podcast if you really like it. If you leave me a review on Apple Podcasts, you become eligible for a free 30-minute coaching session. That's right, así como escuchaste, one free session. Once you leave your review, you can screenshot it and email it to me, and I'll send you a link to sign up. If you didn't like it, don't worry, así está bien. Follow me on social media, on Instagram and TikTok, at Dr. Hortensia Jimenez.